Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos.
It might sound obvious, but much of what the military does depends on explosives. Much of the research, engineering, and manufacturing of what they call energetics takes place at the Navy's Indian Head, Maryland Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technology Center, part of the Naval Sea Systems Command. I visited Indian Head's commander, Captain Scott Kraft, to learn more.
Indian Head is a command that is a mile wide and in some cases a mile deep. We have a very unique mission in the Department of the Navy, but also in the Department of Defense. Our mission is to conduct research and development, test and evaluation, manufacturing and in-service support for energetic materials and systems. I'll come back and unpack that energetics word because I don't presume everyone understands what that means and what that includes. But also in our mission is a solemn responsibility to provide our joint service EOD, so those are explosive ordnance disposal technicians across the entirety of the Department of Defense, with the right information and the right capabilities to perform their very dangerous mission, and that's to detect and locate and access and identify and render safe and recover and exploit and dispose of explosive threats. Right? So a very compelling, very urgent mission, right? And so let me go back to the energetics, right? What is that?
Just one quick question. When it comes to disposal of threats, you don't do the disposal of threats, but you give the information to the other armed services and the units around the world what they need to do to take care of what they're dealing with locally?
That's mostly accurate, right? So we can do some disposal of some things here, and we have the authorities and the state
EPA authorities. So something stable could be shipped here and you would take care of it?
We can. We could. But primarily our responsibilities in support of those sailors, soldiers, airmen, and Marines that are deployed around the world and are charged with the responsibility of removing explosive threats. And so they are provided with information and capability and technology that's done here to help them do that dangerous mission safely and successfully.
Okay, so energetics, on that end of things, you supply them with the threats they need to threaten the enemy.
That's a good way to put it. That's a very good way to put it. And if I can, I want to double back into that kind of that initial mission statement that I gave you, because energetics is a term that not many people use it, but it's really our calling card, right? And I kind of want to unpack that, and it includes a lot of things that people may not consider or think about. Everything from pyrotechnics to rocket motors to high explosives to torpedo fuel, basically anything that is designed to release energy in a way that we want to create an effect, right? And so that comes in all shapes and sizes and is used in a multitude of purposes on all sorts of platforms for all sorts of effects. And Indian Head is ubiquitous across all that space.
I guess people don't realize that, yes, you drop a bomb and it explodes, hopefully, on the right place and the right time, but to get it to drop requires energetics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a an intense systems view of weapons delivery, right? And so it's the weapon in and itself, but it's also everything that goes into the delivery of that weapon system. And so, for example, there are devices underneath aircraft wings that are cartridge-actuated devices that eject bombs or allow for missiles to be launched. And all those are energetic systems in and of themselves, contributing to the delivery of the ultimate weapon system that's needed for that.
And how much commonality is there in the energetics, say, in the Air Force, which has planes that drop things, and the Navy, which has planes and drops things? Do they use the same types of materials and processes? And so that can you serve both services?
I would submit that we do that, right? There is a fair degree of commonality across the services for the sake of economies, right, and efficiencies. And so we support some joint programs that look across the services, across the platforms, and try to maximize the commonalities so that all that efficiency is gained. But at the same time, I would submit that there is a no shortage of items in the inventory. Just for an example, for aircraft across the services, there's over 3,000 different items that we have purview over that we help support in design, in manufacturing, in quality assurance, in logistics, in in-service engineering and support, or in demilitarization. So it's a twofold answer, right? So always looking for the economies, but there's no shortage of items in the inventory or derivations and differentiation of types of items.
We're speaking with Captain Scott Kraft. He is commanding officer of the Naval Surface Warfare Center's Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Division. And I've seen in some of your facilities where rocket motor materials and explosive materials are mixed and turned into useful items. How much does this center supply the military, and how much does industry supply, and how do you balance all of that?
Great question, Tom, and something that we're keenly sensitive to, right? Because there's a lot of capacity, there's a lot of capability that the Navy has invested in here in Indian Head over the years. Most people probably wouldn't realize that we have been here as a naval facility for 128 years. So appreciate everything that has come from Indian Head over the course of our nation's history over those 128 years. The degree to which we partner with and work with industry is a great question, and one that we're constantly revisiting to get right. There's a balancing act of what we in government should be doing and what, frankly, we should not be doing, and using and availing and advantaging our industry partners with full intent to get what they do better than government, quite frankly, right? And so it's a constant reassessment and balancing act. We integrate and we leverage industry through a variety of means.
But in the supplying of, say, energetics.
Yes.
The capacity here is not sufficient, is it, or is it, to supply all of the energetics that the Navy needs?
No, it is not sufficient to provide everything that the Navy needs. But we could do a lot, and we could do a lot more than we're currently doing. Right now, we're embarked on a strategy that asserts a couple things. One is that energetics will remain essential and integral to the Navy's weapon systems for the foreseeable future, right?
Yeah, it's a long way from lasers doing everything.
That's right. So we will be relevant and necessary for a long time into the foreseeable future, right? The other assertion is that energetics is not a frozen commodity. In other words, there's a lot more that energetics can do than it currently does. And as a research lab, and as some folks that are on the cutting edge of that, it's really exciting to see what else, what more, what different energetics can do in support of our Navy's needs. And then we'd also assert that there's been an underinvestment in energetics. And so the inventory that we have is a function of some weapon systems that were developed quite some time ago.
Yeah, 60s and 70s.
That's
are
right.
Still in the inventories.
That's right. That's right. And so we think there's a need and an opportunity to do exactly what our leaders are saying we have to do. As you read the National Defense Strategy, as you read the NAVC's campaign plan to expand the advantage, there's a necessity and there's an urgency to grow a more joint lethal force.
So there's more incentive for, say, the research into more energetics by the Navy itself than perhaps industry would be willing to undertake.
I think that's accurate, Tom. And again, there's tremendous capability in industry, and we ought to smartly partner with them and advantage their strengths, but also mindfully and with corporate intention and oversight, invest in the capabilities that the Navy has organic to itself.
Sure. And in the planning for all of the activities here in NAVC in general, do you model what would happen if, you know, God forbid, there should be some kind of a military contingency where hundreds or thousands of bombs or missiles would be deployed? Then you'd have to replace them. You have to restock the stockpiles to sustain the military. What would happen then?
Sure. So that's a little bit above my pay grade.
You would sense that suddenly Indian Head would get busy.
We would, and we have in the past. We could go to around-the-clock operations.
Navy Captain Scott Kraft is commander of the Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technology Center at Indian Head, Maryland. In part two of the interview, Kraft describes the scope of what goes on deep in the heavily wooded peninsula. We'll post the interview in its entirety at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus. And check out my column at federalnewsnetwork.com. Click commentary. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
Far from the noise and politics of Washington, deep in a wooded peninsula, Navy sailors and civilians work to keep the business end of Navy and other armed services ordnance reliable and effective. Captain Scott Kraft, commander of the Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technology Center in Indian Head, Maryland, talks about the scope of that installation.
A couple thousand acres on the peninsula, right? A couple hundred explosive operating buildings, hundreds of thousands of net explosive weight of different types of energetics moving around the peninsula in various states and for various purposes. We have 16 different industrial complexes, all of which have been used to a degree and are not fully used now. Indian Head is part of the industrial base. It has mobilization capacity and capability for the nation. In the past, when it's been needed, it has mobilized and has been a critical part of that industrial base.
And let's talk about the workforce here, because you have uniformed people. You also have a lot of civilians with deep technical expertise. How do you keep the place populated with the sort of people you need for the research end, the testing end, and all of these technologies that go on?
My favorite topic is our people. We are a workforce of 2,100 people, and they have just a tremendous degree of education, of expertise, of experience, of dedication, of patriotism, of resolve, of tenacity, and they come in all shapes and sizes, right? We have scientists, we have researchers, we have physicists, we have chemists, we have administrators, we have logisticians, we have technicians, we have operators, and it is truly remarkable to look across the workforce and see a dedication to excellence. One of the things that is really remarkable about Indian Head and its workforce is it's not uncommon to find people that have been here for 30, 40 years. They love what they do. It's very niche. It's very critical. They're very good at it. And we want to, frankly, keep them as far as long as we possibly can, even as we have the responsibility to go out and recruit the next generation and those bright minds that are going to continue the legacy that we have here.
Because given the location of this peninsula in the midst of the eastern seaboard, it feels very remote down here. Mm-hmm. And I counted two good barbecue places between here and D.C. on Indian Head Highway. Otherwise, you're kind of stuck down here in that sense. So how do you keep people motivated just given the remoteness of where you are?
Tom, it's in the eye of the beholder, because everything you just said I see as an absolute plus, right? We are a little bit remote, and it is a little bit country down here. And the people are real proud of being a part of Charles County in Southern Maryland. And again, we've been a part of Charles County for a long, long time. And it's really kind of baked into us, the local feel of it. It's a small town, even if we're only 30 miles removed from the Beltway in D.C.
Sure.
But it's a great 30 miles to have between us.
Captain Scott Kraft, commander of the Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technology Center in Indian Head, Maryland, part of the Naval Sea Systems Command. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
We're speaking with Captain Scott Kraft. He is commanding officer of the Naval Surface Warfare Center's Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Division. And let's get back to some technology questions here for a moment. Do you ever come into possession of enemy ordnance that you have to evaluate and see what it's made of and what you might learn from it? Does that happen here?
It does, and it gets to be a sensitive discussion pretty quickly, but we do have opportunities to learn from what is enemy material, right? And we'll get a part of it or some of it through various means. We look to exploit everything we can from everything we get, and we do that with kind of two products in mind. One is to help feed the intelligence community, and so that we have an appreciation for what the capability of that weapon is and the characterization of what that weapon might do to our forces, right? And then it also feeds force protection measures, right? So there's a continual assessment of our tactics and the capability means and our force protection measures so that we are absolutely as protected as we need to be as the adversary continues to adapt and evolve and improve its own weapon systems. And then we do that in general, but we also do it very specifically for the joint EOD community. The Navy is the single manager for joint EOD training and technology. And so specifically the technology side of that responsibility resides here solely at Indian Head. And so the responsibility we have for those 5,000 men and women who are EOD technicians across the four services is a very solemn duty, right? And they are often the ones that first encounter these items that we've never seen before. And their decision-making is supported from the work that's done here. And we look to harvest as much intelligence that we can from each of those discoveries and from each of those responses, as well as feed the intelligence community, as well as feed as our own analysis of force protection statuses and vulnerabilities.
Yeah, you bring up a point that we're seeing across the military, and that is talking more from the command level to the frontline people to say, what can we do better? What is it you need that we're not providing? Do you have people come in here from the field and say, well, this item did this or that item did that, and this would make it better, or this is something we discovered in using it, that kind of thing?
I would answer your question in the absolute affirmative, right? And then maybe amplify, right? Because we seek to have that robust, continuous, interactive dialogue with those that are deployed and those that have recently been forward and what they've seen and what they've been up against and what they need and being responsive to that, right? That is our responsibility. The other initiative that we've been doing here recently, and it's absolutely essential, is making sure that we have a clear sense of those men and women in uniform that we support, right? And so we have taken a couple busloads down to Norfolk, and we've taken employees that have worked here at Indian Head for maybe 30 years but have never met a sailor and never been on a warship. And we've given them that experience. And they've come back with a whole new sharpened conviction of, hey, I know now clearly how important my job is, right? We also had the honor and the privilege of having a Medal of Honor recipient come and visit us this past year and talk with us and to see clearly that warfighter who was reliant on the capability and the needs and what we generate here, man, that is powerful. That's inspiring and that's motivating and compelling, right? We also invited a ship crew to come up and talk with us. They had been in harm's way and they had used some of the weapon systems that we develop and support here. And they came and talked to us about that engagement. And again, fascinating and remarkable for us to see and know and believe that what we do here absolutely is necessary. How we do it, the standards to which we do it, the quality, the reliability, the capability of everything that comes out of Indian Head is essential for the Navy to do its mission.
And in the time we have left, just a brief outline of your own career. How did you end up here? Because it sounds like you really are enthusiastic about it.
Great fortune, right? I am utterly blessed to be here. Never forecasted it in my wildest dreams and wouldn't change it for anything.
You are near water, but it's the Potomac River.
That's true. That's true. And maybe in all irony, 22 years ago, I went through EOD school here. It used to be here at Indian Head. It's now down at Eglin Air Force Base, and that's where I began my Navy career. And to come back now is just a true honor. I am convicted by kind of this unprecedented time we have of responsibility and opportunity to rise to the need of the Navy and to the need of the nation to deliver a capability specific to energetics and weapon systems that in a way that no one else can, right? And the workforce is up to that, and it is truly an exciting time. I summarize kind of the overall status and opportunity and challenge with just, you know, we have just a remarkable organization, and I'm grateful, Tom, that you came and spent some time with us and are talking with us. The people we have are extraordinary professionals. The mission we have is absolutely vital. It's imperative. It is clearly derived and consistent with the National Defense Strategy, the CNO's design for maintaining maritime superiority, Vice Admiral Moore's Expand the Advantage campaign plan, and so the mission is vital, right? And the time as we re-enter into this era of great power competition, and we understand how different that is from the past two decades of fighting terrorism, the times are unprecedented, and we have that opportunity, we have that responsibility.
Captain Scott Kraft, commander of the Indian Head Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technology Center in Indian Head, Maryland, part of the Naval Sea Systems Command.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.